employee that he understood the physics involved.
Exactly, Alexios nodded.
So we can shield the power sats and get them up close to their nominal power output if... His voice trailed off.
If, Yamagata snapped,
if we can afford enough superconducting wire.
It's expensive.
Very. But most of the elements needed to make superconducting wire exist in Mercury's soil.
You mean regolith, said Yamagata.
Alexios bowed slightly.
Excuse me.
Of course, regolith. Soil would imply living creatures in the ground, wouldn't it?
We can manufacture the superconductors here out of local materials.
I believe so. If we use nanomachines, it should be relatively inexpensive.
Once we are allowed to work on the surface again, Yamagata muttered.
Alexios stifled the satisfied little smile that began to form on his lips. Forcing his face into a sorrowful mask, he agreed.
Yes, we must get permission from the IAA before we can even begin to do anything.
Yamagata fumed. Instead of a mantra, he silently cursed the International Astronautical Authority, the International Consortium of Universities, all their members past and present, and all their members' mothers back to five generations. Ian McFerguson looked around at the barren, sun-blasted, rocky ground and shook his head.
Nothing. Every site we've investigated has turned up nothing. Only that one site next to the base Yamagata's people have built.
Thanks to the virtual reality equipment that the ICU team had brought with them, McFerguson could sit in the laboratory they had set up aboard Brudnoy and still experience precisely what the tracked robot vehicle was doing down on the surface of Mercury. The first time he had used VR equipment, back when he was part of the third Mars expedition, it had seemed little less than a miracle to him. He could see, feel, hear what the robot machines were experiencing thousands of kilometers away, all while sitting in the comfort of a secure base. Now, so many years later, virtual reality was just another tool, no more wondrous than the fusion engines that propelled interplanetary torch ships or the tunneling microscopes that revealed individual atoms. Sitting on a lab stool, his head and lower arms encased in the VR helmet and gloves, McFerguson picked up a rock in his claw-like pincers and brought it close to his sensors. A perfectly ordinary piece of volcanic ejecta, he thought. With the strength of the robot, he broke the rock apart, then brought the broken edges to his sensor set and scanned their exposed interiors for several minutes.
Nothing.
No pas, no sulfides, no iron nodules.
If I bring it up to the ship's tunneling microscope, McFerguson thought, I won't find any nanometer-sized structures either. He tossed the broken fragments of the rock back to the ground in disgust.
For long moments he simply sat there, his body aboard the torch ship Brudnoy, his eyes and hands and mind on the blazing hot surface of Mercury.
How can there be such rich specimens at one site and nothing anywhere else?
Of course, he reminded himself, we have an entire planet to consider.
In these few weeks we've barely tested a few dozen possible sites. Perhaps we're looking in the wrong places.
Yet, he reasoned, we concentrated our searches on sites that are similar to the one where Molina found his specimens.
We should have found something by now, unless...
McFerguson did not want to consider the possibility that had arisen in his mind.
We've got to widen our net, he told himself, search different kinds of sites.
That won't be easy, he knew.
Not with Yamagata breathing down our necks. Lord, he's been sending messages to IAA headquarters daily, demanding to know when we'll allow him to start digging up the regolith again.
None of it is easy, McFerguson said to himself. It never is.
Then that nagging suspicion surfaced in his mind again. How could Molina have been so lucky?
Luck plays its role in science, he knew. It's always better to be lucky than smart.
But so damnably lucky. Is it possible?
Victor Molina was in his lab, flicking through the tunneling microscope's images of the latest rock samples brought up from the surface. Nothing. These samples were as dead and inert as rocks from the moon. No hydrates, no organic molecules, no long-chain molecules of any sort. Baked, dry, and dead. He leaned back in his chair and rubbed his eyes wearily. How can this be? Even the samples of dirt scraped off the ground showed no biomarkers of any kind. Sitting up straight again, he reminded himself that the dirt samples from the surface of Mars, tested by the old Viking landers a century ago, showed no signs of biological activity either. Not even a trace of organic molecules in the soil. And Mars not only bears life today, but once bore intelligent life, before it was wiped out in an extinction-level meteor impact. He turned and looked at the set of rocks he himself had tested when he'd first arrived at Mercury. They were carefully sealed in airtight, transparent plastic containers. McFerguson wants me to let him send them back to Earth for further testing. Never. I'm not letting them out of my sight. They'll go back to Earth when I do, and they'll be tested by third parties only when I'm present. Molina felt a fierce proprietary passion about these rocks. They were his key to a future of respect and accomplishment, his ticket to Stockholm and the Nobel Prize. It took a few moments for him to realize that someone was knocking at his laboratory door, rapping hard enough to make the door shake. With some irritation, he called out, "Enter!" Bishop Danvers slid the door back and stepped into the lab, a look of stern determination on his fleshy face. The door automatically slid shut. "Hello, Elliot," Molina said evenly. "I'm pretty busy right now." It was a lie, but Molina was in no mood for his old friend's platitudes. "This is an official visit," Danvers said, standing a bare 2 paces inside the doorway. "Official?" Molina snapped. "What do you mean?" Without moving from where he stood, Danvers said, "I'm here in my capacity as a bishop in the New Morality Church." Despite himself, Molina grinned. "What are you going to do, Elliot? Baptize me? Or maybe bless my rocks?" "No," said Danvers, his cheeks flushing slightly. "I'm here to interrogate you." Molina's brows shot up. "Interrogate? You mean like the Inquisition?" Danvers's face darkened. His heavy hands knotted into fists, but he quickly regained control of himself and forced a thin smile. "Victor, the New Morality has placed a heavy burden on my shoulders. I've been tasked with the responsibility of disproving your claim of finding life on Mercury." Molina smiled and relaxed. "Oh, is that all?" "It's very serious." Nodding, Molina said, "I understand, Elliot." He gestured to the only other chair in the room. "Please sit down. Make yourself comfortable." The plastic seat of the tubular metal chair squeaked as Danvers settled his bulk into it. The bishop looked tense, wary. "Elliot, how long have we known each other?" Molina asked. Danvers thought a moment. "I first met you in Ecuador, more than 12 years ago." "It's closer to 14 years, actually." "To be sure. But I haven't seen you since the trial at Quito, and that was about 10 years ago." Nodding again, Molina said, "But we were friends back in Ecuador. There's no reason why we shouldn't still be friends." Danvers gestured to the analytical equipment lining the laboratory's walls. "We live in 2 different worlds, Victor. Different, maybe, but not entirely separate. There's no reason for us to be adversaries." "I have my responsibilities," Danvers countered somewhat stiffly. "My orders come straight from Atlanta, from the Archbishop himself." Molina let out a little sigh, then said, "All right. Just what do they want you to do?" "As I told you, they want me to disprove your claim that life exists on Mercury." "I've never claimed that." "Or once existed ages ago," Danvers added. "That seems irrefutable, Elliot." "Because of the chemicals you found in those rocks," Danvers pointed to the clear plastic containers. "That's right. The evidence is unmistakable. But as I understand it, McFerguson and his team haven't found any corroborating evidence." "Corroborating evidence?" Molina smirked. "You're learning how to talk like a scientist, Elliot." Danvers grimaced slightly.
Your fellow scientists seem...